Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. My name is Brandi Stankovic, and today's episode is all about technology, leadership, and wellness. One of the most important topics that we could talk about as leaders, and we have a fantastic guest with us, Charlie Wund, a subject matter expert in this area, and we will get to know him here in just a second. But let's dig into technology, leadership, and wellness. So what is a strategic hot box? What is a hot box? I get this question all the time, and people will ask me, what is a hot box? And it's more than just that thing that you did in high school with Cheech and Chong, kind of, you know, like running your, you know, you can't be in the hot box just in that way. But it is very similar in the fact that it is a place that we can eat up and challenge and talk about so many delicious leadership topics. And the reason that I framed it as a hot box is because what is exhaled is also inhaled, right? And that happens here. We want to talk about things in an authentic way, in a raw way, but we also are going to cut to the point. I'm a no BS kind of person. I live that way in my life. My poor children sometimes are just like, Mom, could you just, you know, lighten up a little? But it's true. Like, let's just cut to it. We only get the chance to do this once. So let's do it balls out. Let's do it all the way. Let's rock and roll. And as you know, we have three segments, the learn, the love, and the kick ass. In the learn, we talk about the challenge. We're going to talk about wellness today. In the love, we hear from amazing subject matter experts, and we talk about relationships. And then in the kick ass, I'll give you some execution tools and things to start doing differently today. So when it comes to wellness and leadership, really, I want to start big picture in the conversation that I'm talking about and kind of frame it down, just give some thoughts of where I'm at, and then we'll turn it over to the real expert here and talk about his journey and what he has done in wellness and how it's impacted the next generation. But big picture, when it comes to wellness, wellness to me is life. Wellness is living. When organizations ask me, should I be doing something in regards to wellness? Should I be doing something as in a wellness program? To me, it's duh, right? I mean, just like, should I water my plant? Although I have like black thumbs and I never really water my plants. So, but I live in a desert, right? But nonetheless, it's so true. And you have to feed your employees. You have to water the employees. And I mean that very metaphorically. We should probably feed our employees a little less or feed them the right kinds of foods, right? And it's like the concept of giving to others, you also have to make sure that you give to yourself. And what I mean by that is in an airplane, right? I take lots of airplanes for what I do. I think it took like 4 or 5 last week alone. But nonetheless, when you're on an airplane, I'm sure you've listened to the woman, you know, giving woman or man, giving the spiel at the beginning. I feel like I know this by heart by now. But if the yellow masks are to drop, you are supposed to secure your mask first before helping other people. And the reason for that is if you have air, you could end up by helping other people, you could end up passing out, and then you're no help to anyone, right? So you always have to put your mask on first and then help the people that are around you. Well, the same is true with wellness. How can you serve the people that you're you know, doing your business with, or how can you lead your family, or how can you be the best that you can be if you are not serving your body? If you are not serving the vessel in which that will take you into the future. And one of the things, the way that I frame smoking, for example, and smoking was especially in the 90s, I grew up in the 90s, I can't believe I said that out loud. I grew up in the 1900s. But nonetheless, I grew up in the 90s. Smoking was around so much more. And so it was so much more part of culture than it is now, which is probably a good thing. But the way I frame smoking is like, I almost wish that when somebody lights a cigarette, somebody could just punch them in the face, because that's essentially what they're doing to their body. Right? But not for, you know, 20 years. And so because of that, people sometimes don't see or feel the effects of wellness or things that they're doing that aren't helping them in the realm of wellness until many years later. But the one interesting thing, or an article that I read, a frame of wellness that I read recently, was that sitting is the new smoking. And what I mean by that, or what the article meant by that, is the fact that we, as those that work in an intellectual capacity, their desk job, right? I'll sit. If I have a really great day, I will be sitting all day, because that means I was working all day. My husband and I got the Fitbits or got some sort of kind of bracelet that was counting our steps. And this is a couple of years ago. And so he wore one and went to work, and I wore one and went to work. And we both got home. We were checking our numbers and we were really excited about it. And he's a mechanic at BMW. So he's running around working on cars all day long. He had stepped 18,000 steps by just being at work. 18,000 steps. And guess how many I had stepped? 1,800. Legit had walked into the office, bloop, 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 sat down, and maybe gone to the bathroom once or twice, and then walked home. And I sat all day. And it was such an eye-opening moment for us of going, whoa, like this is going to be something that can for sure impact. And I need to make sure exercise is even more important for me in movement and mobility because of that wellness component. Okay, so what does this mean to organizations? Stress in organizations is really, really powerful. A lot of chronic diseases, most chronic diseases are preventable, and it's just about lifestyle and being the best that we can be. And of course, from an organizational perspective, wellness will help to combat the rising cost of healthcare. Now that, of course, is this his own monster that's roaring its head, especially right now in what's happening in the government and the political environment. But really, healthcare is that I would imagine the costs are never going to go down, right? So the more that we can do to be preventative, the better. And this is especially true for the next generation, which is going to lead us into our discussions here with Charlie. And I can get on a very high soapbox when it comes to my children and their health. And one of the ways that happens is in nutrition. I want to feed my children the best, most highest quality foods we possibly can. Our philosophy or one of our family rules is that what we put into our body should come from a farm or come from an animal, not from a factory. And it just really should, right? And so they'll say, well, you know, where does chocolate come from? A factory. And they get all, you know, like super bummed out about it. But it's true. They should be eating more fruits and vegetables than they should goldfish. But the problem is that the world has become so convenient that these things are easy, ends up equating to potentially not nutritious. And I hate that I'm the only one that feels this way. Why does it have to be, well, your mommy won't let you do that? Why are you even putting that into his life, right? Why do I have to be the bad guy? Everybody should be in this together. If you look at the next generation, so many are already unhealthy. And it's just this world, maybe the sitting that we were talking about, but also this world that we're just not being as nutritious as we can. And we have tools. We have this amazing technology that's continues to get better and better every year. And we should be smarter from it, not moving backwards or reverting. And safety in sports and things really is a way to kind of frame this realm as we make this transition. Many of you may have watched the movie with Will Smith, Concussion, about the long-term impacts that sports can have. And with technology, see, we know all of these things about things like smoking. We know this stuff about sitting. We know this stuff about wellness. We have access to healthcare. That could shift, but we have access to healthcare. With all of this, we have the tools we need to succeed. So what are we going to do about it? And so I'd like now to introduce you to the man, the guy that will, you know, give us all of the insight. This is Charlie Wundt. Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You are the founder and president for the Agency for Student Health Research.
That's right.
It's injuryfree.com. It's a product of A4SHR.
Correct.
And you're also an NCAA athlete in football, rugby, and lacrosse.
Former
athlete. And an athletic administrator for over 10 years in the high school, nonprofit, a lot of youth. But you were recently reported on C-SPAN in Washington, D.C., it looks like, the National Press Club. And you were there spitting your game or what?
Right. Yeah, pretty much, right?
All right.
Yeah, that was last year. We launched an initiative in Washington, D.C. where, you know, the idea is that we're just trying to get a better handle on everything. And I think you brought up a lot of great points about education. Mm-hmm. And that's a big key right now. We talk a lot about concussions and head injuries in general. And really in man's world or woman's world, people's world, it's the furthest reaches of space. It's the darkest depths of the ocean. And it's the human brain or the last three unexplored areas. We just don't know what's going on in there.
Tell me those again. So the human brain, the ocean, depths of the ocean, and?
Human brain.
So the human...
Furthest reaches of space, right? Outer space, bottom of the ocean.
Very deep. I feel like I need to have this conversation with you over tequila.
Absolutely.
The depth of brains and oceans and space.
There's a lot going on
there. But you're right. And here we have all these amazing tools, right?
Yeah. And it's out there and it's getting better every day. I mean, we hear from a lot of the best neuropsychologists in the country and kind of what they're doing in their approach. And a lot of it is application of technology, but most of what we're trying to do is change human behavior, right? Yeah. You're in control of your house, sort of, right?
Right.
I don't know how
right.
the husband...
My kids rule the rules.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, you know, that's a different scenario. Who's in charge? Whose job is it to take care of every child in the U.S.? And so one of the quotes I heard recently that I love is that the largest healthcare system in our country is the public education system.
Oh,
55 million
really
kids
good.
Go to that every single
every day.
And they get healthcare and nutrition
every
single day.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we having such a hard time
mm-hmm.
changing that environment?
Yeah.
But changing people's behavior in general is always very difficult. Like you said, you got to get a Fitbit or something
right.
to help as a trigger, a little Pavlov's
mm-hmm.
bell, right? To make
yeah,
sure you're
absolutely.
Getting up and moving around. So
tell us a little bit about your journey in leadership yeah. and wellness in this realm.
Sure. I mean, it comes from passion. Like you said, I played sports my entire life. Both my parents were teachers. And so for me, I knew that world so well, and it had played such a big role in my life, I think, as it did many people, and it still does. Sports teach so many lessons
mm-hmm.
that you can't learn anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
How to fail, I think, is probably one of my favorite lessons.
That's good, yeah.
Is how do you lose and handle it, right? Because you've got to lose if you're going to get
really
better.
Good, Charlie, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I think it meant so much to me that there was a I can remember it very well, sort of. It was a little hazy, but there was a moment where my wife and I were sitting around and I am ranting and raving. And this is probably about 2008 or so,
mm-hmm.
About the concussions and what's going on and how nobody's doing anything about it. And she literally just said, well, shut up or do something about it. And so at the time we didn't have kids,
good for her. Mm-hmm.
You know, founded the Agency for Student Health Research in 2010, didn't have the injury-free product, didn't know what I was going to do, but it was focused on health and wellness and the use of technology to scale those solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process, in talking with coaches and doing case studies and leaders that were in and around our San Diego area, we ended up with this injury-free product as a way to help monitor and communicate effectively with the surrounding population. So we work directly with youth sports organizational administrators and their communities, as opposed to trying to take on the whole country at once. We're breaking off in large regional metropolitan areas.
That's great. So you work with the administrators and the coaches and the teachers to educate them or to give them the tools to educate the kids, or how does that?
Yep, the whole thing. So anyone and everyone. And so the way that we built the technology, again, just because we know so much about that environment,
mm-hmm.
is that we broke it up into as many different roles as we could. Everybody's got a different level or access or a role in this process. And we said, instead of one person who maybe is really super passionate about it and trying to get it the whole school to change, we're going to give everybody a whole bunch of little jobs.
Mm.
And together, then they can work together. They create transparency.
Uh-huh.
They're communicating effectively. And then in the back end of all this, we're documenting all of this communication that goes on, which enables us to aggregate trends.
Mm.
So we can see very specifically in let's just say in a high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, what's the rate of ankle sprains on the girls' JV field hockey team, or how many concussions have happened in this entire school population? How does that compare to a district? How does that compare to the entire regional area or nationally?
And then you can look at why.
You could start to ask those questions.
Wow.
What's different? What are you doing that maybe is putting kids
tools
at risk?
Or practices.
Yep. And then put that back out into the populations and then continually cycle that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did that have an impact? We thought we should do X because Y was happening. What was the result in Z? And then just keep that cycle going.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what does wellness mean to you? How are you applying it in your life and with your, you know, obviously you're doing it every day in the organizations that you lead and the organizations you work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's more of a do as I say, not as I do.
I know exactly what that's like.
Try to get as much time, you know, personally. And of course, we instill the same type of, you know, healthy eatings. We call it no bad sugar in our house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from the stuff that's processed. Try to get natural. We're learning plants. And I think that, you know, it is natural. It is educational stuff that we try to pass on to the kids and just incorporate whatever you can in a healthy lifestyle. But I think, you know, stress, being aware of what stress does to me personally and then see it ripple around my impacts of circle here.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is probably one of the things that I try to keep top of mind at all times.
So, and I think that's amazing. And I learn a lot from you and your family and the things that you have implemented, and I'll steal some of that. And,
yeah,
and
I'm, you know, exactly.
Vice versa, because it's anything we can do to support one another, to grow wellness, or to have it be popular and cool,
right,
to want to be that way, you know, yeah, at least be trying to strive towards that. So you talk a lot about the analytics and how we can then change those lists. What's the end result here? What is the light at the end of the tunnel? If you were to change the world, yeah, how would that be?
That's a great question. You know, I think that when we set out to do this, I really had no clue what I was getting myself into. I mean, I've learned so much about how schools and districts purchase insurance, and I was like, oh, I'm never, what is this? I have no right. idea. How is this related? But it's a cog in the wheel. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is, I think, unify or bring to light and create the transparency and the communication in this larger fragmented ecosystem. And the one piece of this that you touched on is that access to healthcare for mm-hmm. us. That's so important, because, you know, at the end of the day, the parents and the adults who are out there running youth sports organizations are just that. They're parents. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had a personal story. Maybe they grew up playing a sport and it meant something to them. But really, that's why they're doing it. They're enjoying to pass on that mm-hmm. knowledge. They're not doctors. They're not right. epidemiologists.
And
studying
probably
trends.
Didn't wear helmets when they were growing up. Right.
Right? I
or
mean, all the things.
Or...
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the model of, I'm going to teach these kids what I was taught 30 years ago mm-hmm. and getting them passing that on needs to change. Mm-hmm. And so we love partnering groups with healthcare organizations.
That's interesting.
So the Maryland State Youth Soccer Association is a great example. They've got 65,000 kids playing soccer in the entire state of Maryland.
Wow.
We partnered them up with a regional healthcare facility, MedStar, so that they dedicated a 1-800 number for those parents and those families, so that if that child gets hurt, they have 24 to 48 hour access to a specialist.
Wow.
So instead of going
regardless
to an ER.
Regardless of their insurance.
Doesn't matter. They take it all.
Wow.
And so, you know, the idea here is that as a parent, maybe I don't know. My kid just broke their arm, straight to the ER. Wrong. That's going to slow it down. It's not going to get them into the right spot. It could hurt the recovery time. And that's just for a fractured
really?
Bone or something. Fractures, probably, you can probably go to the ER for most of those things. But concussions?
Not specialty, right?
Definitely not.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, it is very important. We are learning now that how you treat a concussion in the first 24 to 48 hours is important. And certainly getting them out of play is more important, because if they get hit before the brain heals properly, they get sustain a second impact there, that could potentially kill a child, mm-hmm. kill a person, or also just create some type of long-term disabilities.
Wow.
So we really, that's the oversight. That's the gap in the process that we're trying to.
The repetitive.
And just getting them out of there. Yeah.
Huh.
And communicating. Because, you know, you have two boys, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they're playing sports in one sport, they're probably playing multiple sports.
Yeah, right.
And you're picking them up and you're dropping them off.
And they beat on each other nonstop.
Constantly. Right.
So that all adds to the concussion
realm. All adds to the potential
realm.
Issue, yeah.
So how has your leadership then drived the efforts that you've made in the business and in this realm?
You'd have to ask the people around me probably to give you a better example. I think, you know, I always try to take what I see. There's always a community feel to things, and I've got my Instagram, you know, accounts I follow, mm-hmm. and I mm-hmm. always push in for inspirational quotes, and mm-hmm. you know, you just keep that surrounding you, and you look to those experiences to keep driving. I think that learning how to level out the peaks and valleys is always important, especially in business, but in life as well. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to fluctuate, it's going to change. So finding an even keel wherever you can, and reminding it why you're doing it and what you're doing, you know, for the right reasons. But certainly surrounding yourself with the right people. Mm-hmm. I heard a great quote, George Steinbrenner, former owner of the Yankees, said, surround yourself with people smarter than you are. Right. So I've tried to do that. And certainly people that share passion and, mm-hmm. and are in for it the right reasons. You know, mm-hmm. we always look for those types of people and create that support circle around you, because you're going to need it at some point, and then you dish it out in equal share when people need it around you.
Do you have, so you work, sounds like, across the entire United States.
Yes.
Are you going global, or at this point just in the U.S.?
Yeah, no, we've been in Australia for a little bit. We've
wow.
got a couple of European countries that we've done some work with. We just had a reach out from some of the new facility they're building in Qatar.
Wow.
The whole system out there. So there's a lot going on around the world, and it's a pretty hot topic. How can we integrate technology into youth sports, into sports in general,
uh-huh.
increasing performance through injury prevention?
Yeah.
So we kind of fit into that model.
And then what are some of the outcomes, since you've been doing this for 7 years, it sounds like, now? You mm-hmm. found it in 2010.
Yeah.
What are the impact and effects you've already seen?
You know, we've seen cases where kids have had a concussion sustained, and in our system, you know, it highlights them, their names are in red. So they can't participate anymore. They've actually dropped out of that club and gone and tried to register in another club in the same sport. And their administrators said, hold on, wait a second. You're not cleared. What happened? And they, you know, sometimes it's just they never got that. They want to play. Yeah. And when we've seen, you know, kids just not go to the doctor and get a clean bill of health, you know, those types of things because the parents can't afford healthcare or maybe they don't have a car or whatever it might be. But that those are the cases. And so we've seen that. I think the one that's like the mythical white whale for us is that we always want to be able to measure zeros. That's the hardest thing to do in epidemiology is to measure an impact that that didn't happen because you had a case. Right. So something.
Tell me more about that.
So, you know, let's pretend that our system's out there and we work with roughly about 400,000 kids in population size. We call it lives covered. What if, because our system was in place, one child's life was saved? That's a zero. That never happened because we had a checks and balances in place. That child never went back into play.
Oh, I see. It's hard to measure if you have a good impact because of the fact that
in our world, we're preventing bad things
from happening. You're preventing bad. And so really, you just want to watch the numbers of not getting worse.
We want them to go down.
We want them to
level
get
out. Yeah, maintain.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we always try to measure those zeros wherever we can. And that's where we like to think that, you know, over the past, the system itself has been in operation, I'd say, for about 3 years, 3-4 years. And in that period of time, that we'd like to think that there's a kid out there somewhere whose life, you know, we may potentially impact it in a positive way.
Right.
Because we had some systems in place.
Have you had any coaches go, get out of here with this show?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
You would not even believe.
Because that's like kind of the Will Smith movie, in a sense, and the fact that he got so much resistance because it changes football, right?
You know, listen, football's a big thing. Uh-huh. I played 4 years in college. I on film have cases where I was knocked unconscious and go back into the game and can finish that game. 100%. Blackout,
so brain damage that you have happening. 100%.
I, you know, changing light bulbs, you know, tying shoes, you know. But at the same time, you know, when we were first getting started, it was such a controversial topic, you know, that people just weren't ready to listen. And so I literally, true story, had one coach, I call up a coach, said, coach, listen, we want to come in. We're doing this work with our CIF, and we want to measure, track the rates of injuries that are occurring. This is how we're going to do it. I'm on the phone. He goes, what are you going to do? Figure out football's bad for people? You're going to try to tell people football's bad? I'm like, dude, I played defensive end, right? I had, you know, 10 sacks.
I'm all about
football.
Dude,
don't talk to me about this. Yeah, right. I'm trying to relate to you as a coach, as somebody. I know that. No, we're trying to protect a game that we both love before everybody sues it out of existence by just doing the right thing. And, of course, here we are now. This has got to be about 5 years later, and, you know, the game's different.
Yeah, right. It is. Yeah. So do you have a horrific example, or I'm kind of scared to hear a horrific example in this kind of realm of things, but, or a funny story or something, you know, that you can share with us?
Yeah, I can share a lot of stories. I think that, you know, in talking about youth sports and in safety, you know, I think we've touched on those bases. Mm-hmm. I think in business, you know, I went through an issue in leadership. I went through a lot of self-efficacy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've never started a company before. I never, you know, was in this position as a CEO. Mm-hmm. So I was always on the search for people that, you know, knew more than me. Again, kind of that credo. Mm-hmm. And I made two bad mistakes.
Really?
Not trusting myself to be the leader that I knew I could be because I heard or thought that somebody else had more experience or they're on paper, they're what investors want to see something along those lines. So two big mistakes that I look back now and really it's just taught me the lesson, follow your gut, you know, trust in yourself,
right?
Be positive about what you've done and accomplished. Always remind yourself of the wins. Mm-hmm. And as long as you've got more wins than losses, you're in the right path, right?
Heads above water.
Heads above water.
Yeah, so. And you kind of, that those are essentially this, but any action items or takeaways? So do you recite kind of summarizing them there, but did?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that if any organizations are looking to make these changes, we always break it into thirds. There's 30% of people are going to be looking for the new ways, the right answers. 30% are going to be hesitant until someone's told or they're told what to do. Mm-hmm. And then that middle 30% is kind of, I want to wait and to see what the first 30% does, see how it goes.
Yeah.
So if you're in the, you know, put yourself in a bucket. And if you're in one of those first two buckets of, you know, I'm looking for something or I'm waiting to see somebody else, you know, contact us. We can help. We offer expertise. You know, it's free advice. Mm-hmm. We can help put people in the right positions. There's a lot of great tools out there right now. Mm-hmm. It's all about creating a safer environment. But I mean, I think, you know, in taking away, just do something.
Do something.
Speak up. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't like the way your coaches or your administrators are handling injuries or whatnot, don't let it go away. It's mm-hmm. only going to take once, right. and it's going to impact your life forever.
Forever. Yeah. And I think the wellness that goes into the wellness side of it as well, this just to do something.
Yeah.
You know, start working towards the better future.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much for
Thanks
being
for
a part of this.
Me.
And if people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best route to do that?
Best way to do that is through the website, injurefree.com. We've got lots of phenomenal supports. You can schedule demos, lots of good information there.
Do you normally
there.
Do that Vanna Whiteham?
Absolutely. Whenever I'm showing off. Again, I mentioned this before. I don't like, why is the 12-year-old wearing lipstick?
This is your website.
I know. It's marketing.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you very much, Charlie, for being here.
Thanks
Let's
for
head
me.
Out to our shout out.
Hey, this is Matt coming from the softball fields. Just got done kicking some ass. Just want to give a shout out to Dr. Brandy. Dr. Love. Dr. Love. And you are watching the Strategic Hot Box.
Thank you to Matt McGoldrick for being here and you to giving the shout out from the softball fields. He is definitely somebody that played sports his entire life, continues to very competitive in the softball arena. So thank you to Matt for sending it that our way. And thank you again to Charlie for being here and being a part of the podcast. So now is your favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. So the number one is to put your mask on first. So back to the airplane example of making sure that when it comes to wellness, that don't forget about you. Sometimes we get into wellness programs or helping others or making sure everybody else is safe and secure and well. And you want to make sure that you're in that as well. So that you're putting your own mask on, that you're thinking about your own vessel and how you will continue to help others. Because you can't help others in the future if you don't first help yourself. Number two is be the role model for the next generation. I love how Charlie framed it in the do something. Get out there and do something. If something doesn't feel right in your gut, and it sounded like this applied to his business as well as apply out for the students that are in the fields. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. And so get out there and do something and be that person that's willing to make a stand. Be the role model. And the next generation piece is also for kids and for the people that you're serving. Number three, manage stress. We talked about stress, how stress is just hurting. Stress can just impact people. It's a silent killer. It's something that's impacted your own blood pressure, making your own blood boil, and it will forever impact your life. So it's time to breathe. It's time to relax. It's time to be well. Number four is to learn. This plays into everything that Charlie was saying. If you do have and you want more information on the efforts that he has or getting it into the schools that you serve, you know, get out there and check out what he's doing and the efforts that he's making. And it, just like you said, if anything, it's some free advice. If anything, you just learn a little bit more and make sure that you're impacting the students that you're serving or you're going through in the efforts that you're going in a more informed way. And number five is to move. Sitting is the new smoking. Get out there and dance and groove and move and do whatever it takes to enjoy and celebrate and get the blood pumping. And it's time to just be well and focus on the future and start making it happen today. Not just in January because we had that New Year's resolution, but today and every day and how we can make little steps going forward in the future. There's your top five kick ass. So thank you again to Charlie for being here and being part of the Hot Box. We had a great day today and lots of delicious little nuggets. You gave some really cool quotes. I'm going to have to go back and write this stuff down kind of furiously because I love some of those, especially the deep dive of the brain and the space and the ocean. I'm a little obsessed with that. I'm not going to lie. That's going to stick with me for a long time. So if you wanted to hear us tackle certain topics on the Hot Box, please reach out and email podcast@strategichotbox.com. You can also share your thoughts with us on Twitter, and that's at Brandy Love, BrandiLuv. You'd think after all these years I'd remember how to spell my name. And Instagram at Strategic Hot Box. For ongoing access to me, executive coaching tools, leadership development, exercises, worksheets, books, and a network of people that like to kick ass just like you, come check us out and hang out with us on thestrategichotbox.com. So until next time, be well and get out there and kick some ass.